Okay. First thing I'm gonna do is look at the problem that I asked you to solve for extra credit. And I've got back to you, if you sent it to me prior to a reasonable hour last night. If not, I will get back to you eventually. So, first of all, it's a nice thing to go in and change this prompt to say enter the four things that you want them to enter. Okay, as opposed to leaving it the way I had it, which is just a slash or an asterisk. Okay, so I started out there, and then I just continued on. So I'm saying if what to do equals an asterisk, then do the calculation where you multiply. Else. Okay, now using the else becomes important here. If you want to be able at the bottom to say, okay, else it's an error. If you, and we're going to get into that a little bit more in a minute, but let me run through it this way. Okay, so if what to do equals an asterisk, I'm saying, okay, do the calculation. And again, notice it's within the curly braces, because this is what I want to do if it is true. Okay, else if it is not true. So at this point, I am going down and, actually let me move this up a little bit because there's one thing that's missing. Okay. Okay, so I need those curly braces at the end, and I didn't have them. And I don't know why that suddenly decided it wanted to show up, but anyway. Okay, so if what to do is an asterisk, then this is what I'm doing if it's true. If it's false, I'm taking the else, which is doing all of that, or it's doing something in there at least. The else is down below. Okay, so this, I want to go into this if it's false. Okay, so my next question is if it's false, my next question is what to do a slash? And if it's a slash, then I want to do the divide. And if it's not, I want to do something in there. And we'll find out what. So I go in, and the next thing I do is I ask, is what to do equal a plus? And if it is, I do this. And notice the parse float or some other kind of thing. Parse integer, plus sign, word number, something to convince it that these are numbers and should add and not concatenate. And then if it's false, it does that. So now I'm at, isn't it fun to have four colors? Now I'm saying if what to do is a subtract, I want to do this. If it's not, I want to do that. Okay, so those are the colors trying to show the different questions. And now I messed up my colors. There they are. Today hasn't been a good day, so don't expect a lot. I ran into a lot of police and fire on the way down, and it's just kind of gone downhill from there. Okay, so now what I have is the last question, which says, if what to do equals a hyphen, do the subtract, else do the error, okay? So I'm saying else do the error. So what I've got here is if I look at the flowchart of just the if statement, I've got that I'm asking, is it an asterisk? And if it is, I do the multiply. And then if it's a no, that's really the else. So else, is it a slash? And if it is, do a divide. And if it's no, again, that's the else. And I'm asking, is it a plus? And if it's a plus, I do the add. And if it's a no, then I ask, is it a hyphen? And if it's a hyphen, I do the subtract. And if it's not a hyphen, I do the error. And then I close up the bottom one, and I close up the next one, and I close up the next one, and I close up the last one. And those close-ups that I'm doing are all of the curly braces. And notice that there are four close-ups that I did at the bottom. There's four curly braces at the bottom. Those curly braces match with the closing, because that's what I'm doing, is I'm closing up. So those curly braces actually match with the curly braces match with the circles over there. These are an OR relationship. Is it an asterisk? No. Okay, then is it a slash? So I'm saying, is it a slash, or is it an asterisk, or is it a plus, or is it a minus? These are in an OR relationship. Okay, it's one or the other. And then I say, if all else fails, it's an error. Okay? So that was what I was looking for as a solution. The document write I put at the bottom. I could have done a document write all the way through on each of these, but I put it at the bottom. And that's really the better way to do it. Because I/O, input-output, is expensive as far as machine language is concerned. It generates more code than an ad or something like that does. And so if I have just one document write where I write out the answer, it only has to generate the code for the write once, as opposed to if I put a write at every question, then I would have to have generated code for a write multiple times. So it's just more efficient to put it in just once if possible. Okay, what I want to do now is look at the logic if I ask separate if questions, which some of you did. So I'm going to do select. And I still gave you extra credit for this, but I just want to point out where the issue is. Okay, so if I come in and I have this, and let's make it a little bit bigger. Okay, so I'm going to make these a bunch of standalone ifs. So I'm saying get rid of the else and just start the if all over again. And I'm not indenting all of the stuff because I'm lazy. So I'm indenting the if and I'm kind of leaving the other stuff inside a little bit. Oops. Okay, so far what I've got is a bunch of standalone ifs. So what I'm doing is, I'm going to move this over a little bit. I am starting out and saying, okay, if it's an asterisk, do the multiply. And then I have nothing to do if it's a no, I'm closing it up. That's a standalone if, where I said, if what to do equals asterisk, do this. Then I'm asking a second if, and I'm saying, okay, if it's a slash, go do the divide. If it's not, don't do anything. Okay? So I'm going to go down and I'm going to ask each of these questions in sequence. So the next question I'm asking is it a plus? And if it is, I'm going to do the add. And then I ask, is it a minus? And if it is, I'm going to do the subtract. The problem is, it works fine if I don't care about putting out an error if they enter something that's not right. Because let's say they enter a plus. It looks here and says, is it a plus? No. So it's done. Then it looks here. Is that a plus? No. So it doesn't do anything. It just drops to the next if. Is that a plus? Yes, it is. So it does what it's there. Then it drops down again, even though it's already done it, and says, is that a minus? So it keeps dropping down. Okay, it keeps dropping down and asking each question. Now it gets the right answer to the question, but then what do you do when you want the error? There's no place to put the error. You can't put an else on this one, because if it is a plus, it would do the and, come down and hit the else on this one and write out error. So I'd see the add answer and I would see error. Because the only place I would get error is if it wasn't a subtract. Okay? So I can't add it there. So what I would have to do is put in a very complex if down here that says if what to do is not equal to an asterisk and what to do is not equal to a slash, and what to do is not equal to a plus, and what to do is not equal to a minus, put out error. Okay? And that is overly complicated. So, this one worked better if you didn't use standalone ifs, if you use the else, because it really is a situation of this or this or this or this. So that tends to be check this, and if it's not true, else check this, and if it's not true, else check this, and the else's work in better. Standalone ifs are okay, but when it goes through here, it will check every single one of them. So it checks this one, then it checks this, and if it's a divide, it does the divide, but then it still checks the plus and still checks the minus, okay? Because there's standalone ifs, and it checks each one. So there is a problem with the error putting it in too. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I don't know if you got mine yet, but I didn't have if statements. I put it in as an equation instead, but it still worked. Does that still count?
It depends on how you did it. How do you mean you put it in as an equation?
I did. I put variable for four numbers, and then I had it multiply the first two, add the second, and subtract the fourth, or something like that. But it
works. I guess I'll have to look at it. If it works, you get extra credit, yes. But you may also get comments like, huh? Okay. So I will take a look at it.
Okay.
Okay. Questions? Does this make sense? Does the difference between the else and the standalone if make sense? Thank you for one nod. Now I gotta see if I can get two nods. Can I get another nod someplace? Those are important things. You have to give the person up here feedback. Okay, questions? Yeah.
So you don't need a semicolon after the if statements because there are questions?
You don't need it because it's not done.
Okay.
The end of the if statement is controlled by the curly braces. Okay, so in the other things, a prompt is done, so I put in a semicolon. The other things are all done. When they came to an if statement, the problem was the if statement's not done. And so they basically are using curly braces to control it. After we finish JavaScript, we're gonna look at Visual Basic, and Visual Basic uses the word end if as opposed to curly braces. So it ends the if by using the word end if. There is a series of languages that uses the curly braces, and there are a series of languages that use the end ifs. But they all have something that tells you that the if is over. Okay. JavaScript is a pain in the neck to debug. If you work in it professionally, they buy you an expensive editor, and then it's a lot less of a pain in the neck. But Visual Basic gives you very specific errors as opposed to the white screen of death. We're going to talk a little bit about how you can put things in if things aren't working, and how you can debug a little bit today, but we're going to leave most of it and do that on Thursday. Okay. So that was the answer to that question. I probably should save it. Okay. So the next one I'm going to look at is an if with an if, whatever that means. So enter the number of points you earned. I'm going to enter 50. And says you get to choose a prize from grade B. So I'm doing a view page source. A little bit bigger. Whoops, where did it go? Okay, so on this one, I am coming in and I'm saying prompt, enter the number of points you earned. And then I'm saying if my points is less than 10, then I am making a message that says not enough points for a prize. Else, if it is less than or equal to 50, I'm making one that says you can choose a prize from group B. Else, meaning it's 51 or above, I'm letting them choose from group A. So again, it's one of those three possibilities, and I don't know which possibility it is. So I have less than 10, and if it's not, then I have less than or equal to 50, and if it's not, so I'm going over and having three different possibilities. This one is the not, this one is the B, and this one, whoops, well, somewhere over in there is the A. Okay, so again, this is an if. I've told the number of points, and I have three possibilities I want to look at. They didn't get enough points to get a prize, and under 10 is no prize. Or they got between 10 and 50, which means that they got a group B prize, or they got more than 50 points, which means they got a group A prize. And then I do a document write, and I write out whatever the message is. And my message said, since I entered a 50, okay, I entered 50 for this. So I got the B. The B group. Okay. Questions? Okay. That one was very similar to the one that we just did. And then this one is asking, is it Massachusetts or Rhode Island? So I'm saying, enter your name, John. Enter the state, MA. And it says, John, you live in Massachusetts. Okay, so let's look at a few things here. Okay, so first of all, I said put in a variable called the name. Now, in this particular example, I'm using what is called camel case. And I don't usually use that because I tend to find it easier to remember if I do everything in lowercase. Then I don't have to remember whether I did that one in camel case or lowercase. So that's just me. A lot of people really like camel case. And camel case means if you've got two words, the second word starts with a capital and they feel it's easy to read. Because I can't have embedded spaces in a field name, okay? As I mentioned when we were doing Access, the worst thing that Microsoft ever did, as far as I'm concerned, was allow embedded spaces in the names of things, because nobody else allows it, okay? When you write a field name, you've got to make it one word. You can frequently have an underscore in the word or something like that, but you've got to have it one word. So the name cannot be the space name, okay? It won't work because it looks for the embedded space. It looks at the space as the end of the name. So if I write the space name, it takes the as the name, and then it runs into the word name and it says, what does that mean? What is that? I don't understand it because it's looking for all together, okay? So, I'm saying variable the name. Now, I have been using the word prompt. Sometimes you will see people write window.prompt, which is basically saying I want a prompt, and the prompt is in the window. Either one works fine. You can write just prompt, or you can write window.prompt, meaning I want a prompt to come up in the window. Okay, and it can be written either way. Then I said, enter your name, and I'm entering a name here, and quote, quote means nothing. That means that the box that the prompt puts up should be empty, okay, because quote, quote means nothing. If you put a quote, space, quote, then that means it actually puts a space in the box. I don't want a space in the box, I want nothing in the box. So quote, quote gets me nothing in the box. And then I did the same with state. And then I said, okay, now I'm gonna check. If the state equals Massachusetts, or. So this symbol means or. So when I'm writing an or, I use that symbol. The state equals Mass or the state equals Rhode Island. Okay? So I'm saying either one or the other. And if they live in either Massachusetts or Rhode Island, I'm writing out the name, and I put in a John. So I put in John, and I put MA. Okay? So I'm writing out John, and then notice I've got the concatenate there, that plus. This is when it means concatenate. In previous examples, I used a comma as a separator. This time I'm using the plus, which means concatenate. So I'm saying take the name, concatenate it with a literal that says you live in. Notice I put a space in front of the Y and a space after the M, so that up here it says John, and then you can see the spaces there. okay? If I didn't put the spaces there, it would smoosh it all together. But by putting the space in, I'm saying John, concatenate with space, you live in the space, and the spaces go up there. Concatenated with the state, which was MA, and then I decided to throw in a comma. I could have used the concatenate again. It doesn't matter. I can mix and match these. And then I said comma, and then I said I want to move down to the next line, so I'm going to put a BR in quotes. This BR in quotes passes down the literal of the tag BR. So it sees that literal and it branches down to the next line. Now, was there any reason to do that? No, because I'm only writing one line. But I wanted to show you how to do it, so I did it anyway. It would have been important if I wanted to write another line, but here it doesn't do any harm. It just moves the cursor down to the next line. Okay, and that doesn't cause any problems. The cursor's just on the next line. If they don't live in Mass or Rhode Island, I'm writing the name concatenated with the literal, you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island BR. Notice the BR is inside the literal, inside the quotes. So it sends down the message, you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island, and then it breaks to the next line. Okay. Now, yes.
Does the BR have to be in quotes to go to the next line?
Yes, because I'm passing down the literal. Okay, so I'm going to take this. Come on. And I'm going to work with that a little bit. So I'm going to come up here and say edit, paste. And I am going to add a document write down here that says document write, all done. Okay, so now I have put in another line. So I'm going to do a file, save as, and this is an or, BR, whatever. So I'm saving this. And I'm going to, where did I save it? I wasn't looking. On the F drive. Good. So now I'm going to come over here and I'm going to go open and I'm going to the F drive and I'm looking for OR BR. So I'm saying enter your name and. Okay, now I'm going to enter a lowercase MA. Okay, for the state. So I'm entering the MA in lowercase. So, what does it now say? It says, Anne, you don't live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island because it is case sensitive. And lowercase MA is not uppercase MA. And it is putting out the all done because I did the break. So let's look at that. Okay, so now, first of all, I put in Anne and MA. So, when it came to this and said, is the state equal to capital MA, or is the state equal to capital RI, the answer was no, because lowercase is not uppercase. A little bit later on in this course, we'll actually look at computer codes, and you'll see that the computer code is an 8-bit ones and combination of ones and zeros. And a lowercase m and an uppercase m are a different configuration of ones and zeros. And that's what the computer is looking at. And so a lowercase m is not the same as an uppercase m. Now, there is a way that you can convert it. We're not going there today, but you can convert it into uppercase. And I will give, we'll hit that in some later examples. The other thing is, I could have written, if the state equals MA, or the state equals lowercase MA, or the state equals RI, capital, or the state equals RI, lowercase. And then it would have accepted it. So if I had put all of those in, then it would have accepted it. Yes?
If you wanted to have it all done as a pop-up after you get your result, how would you do that?
You put it in as an alert.
After all, you write all that stuff down?
Yeah. Instead of doing a document write, you could put an alert here. Okay. And then it would do a pop-up. The alert is actually a really good thing. So let's take a look at where that can fit into debugging. If I don't understand that this is case sensitive, and I put up, and I put in the MA, and I'm saying, why didn't it tell me that it was MA, that it was Massachusetts? This is, you know, I put in a lowercase MA, doesn't it know anything? So if you want to, what you can do sometimes is put up an alert that shows you. So I got the no on this. It said, I do not live in Massachusetts when I put in a lowercase, and I wanted to see it. So I can say, put up an alert that shows the state. Okay? And then I will see the alert go up, and I will then be able to maybe figure out what's going on. The alert can be put in to figure out logic problems. If I do a calculation and I'm getting a series of calculations and I'm getting the wrong answer, I can put an alert after each step of the calculation and watch the numbers change and say, ah, that's where I made a mistake. I did an add when I should have done a subtract or something like that. So if I put an alert in here, file, save, and I'm going to re-execute this, and I'm putting in Susan, and I'm going to put in RI, and say okay. Oh, good. So now we'll have to figure out what I did wrong. View page source. Alert state. What's wrong with that? What? Where's my mistake?
You have a space before the semicolon.
No.
It's not the state.
Pardon me?
It's not the state.
That's right. It's called the state. When I defined it, I called it the state. So I have to come over here, and I go back in, and I got the white screen of death, which unfortunately does not convey a lot of information. And I'm now changing it to the state. And I'm spelling it, hopefully, the way that I spelled it. And so now it should work. Okay? So I'm going to do a file save. And I'm going to refresh. And it says, enter your name, Dick. Enter your state, lowercase Rhode Island. And it now is given me an alert. So this is the alert. The alert is showing that I've got a lowercase RI. So if I think about that, then hopefully it will dawn on me that, wait a minute, I shouldn't have entered lowercase. And then it comes up and says, you do not live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. So that alert conveyed some information. So if you're not getting the right answer, the alert can help you by showing you some information that may help you determine what you did wrong. Okay? It's a debugging tool. It's a try to figure out. If you get the white screen of death, then it's a syntax error, not a logic error, and that's more difficult to figure out. Okay. But to start out with, it's just really good. And then, as I said, on Thursday, we'll look at some more debugging techniques. But it's really good to just go through the code and understand how picky these things can be and how you have to go in and look at it in great detail. Okay, so on this one, I said I wanted a BR, and on this one, I said I wanted a BR. In this case, it's part of the literal, so it's inside the quotes. Here, I had to put either a comma or a plus there, and then put the BR inside the quotes. Because when I'm sending a tag down, it needs to be inside the quotes, because I'm sending it down as a literal, and then it's easy to see here as a literal. So the browser then sees you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island BR, which is exactly the way I would have coded it in HTML. And so it writes out the words up there and skips down to the next line. Yeah.
So the difference between the first line and the second line is you have the you live in as a literal, but then it's interrupted by
the state.
Okay, and then you go back to a literal.
And then I go back to a literal. And again, I could have used a plus here and it would have worked just fine. I could use a plus instead of a comma and it would work just fine. But yeah, the difference is at the top one, I wanted to go back to a variable, and then I wanted to go back to a literal. The BR is a literal. So I was going variable, literal. Okay, whereas down here I just had variable concatenated with a big long literal. Okay. So, the other thing, as I said, that you can do is you can put in an or the state equals MA. Or, and this is going to go on forever, okay, so now I've said I'll take capital MA or lowercase a, any one of those combinations will work. So I've said I will take the capitals or I will take the lowercase. So now if I go and do this and I put in Linda and MA, it comes back with the alert and wait a minute, what did I do wrong? I didn't save it apparently. File, save. Another good thing to check and make sure that after you modify it, you save it. Okay. As you can see here, I keep my text open in Notepad. So I keep the code open in Notepad. And I keep the browser open. Okay, so that I can just go here and do a refresh and it will run. And I don't have to keep going back and forth. And it says, Linda, you live in MA. So that was fine. Okay, yeah.
What did you say those double vertical lines?
Four.
Four.
That's the way the computer in JavaScript, those double lines mean or. So what I'm saying here is if the state equals MA in capitals, or the state equals MA in lowercase, or Rhode Island, yeah.
Can you just combine that in one line? So like after MA, close quotations, comma, open quotations, and then go another state, and do them all inside the parentheses instead of...
Say that again. I'm sorry. I got lost where you were.
So instead of doing it four separate times in that line, doing the state equals quotations,
yeah.
Can you just close everything with quotations and commas and just have it one line with MA, close quotes, comma, and like open quotes?
Yeah, it would be nice, but no.
Just tie together, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, it would be nice. But no, you have to repeat the entire condition. And the condition has the two things with the equal sign in it. Okay? So you wanted to do, basically, okay, so you want me to do what here?
Instead of doing the assignment, we could just carry the line out separated by commas, right?
So comma, like that?
Yep, and then open quotes.
And then MA, whoops, comma, I'll get it yet. I told you not to expect too much today. Okay, so that's what you were suggesting.
Yeah.
And it would be a lovely world. I think I saved that, right? File, save. So I come back over here and I do a refresh. And it said, enter your name. And it would be John. And enter the state, MA. Ooh, I couldn't have done that.
Yeah, it was working for me just now.
Huh.
That's what confused me about it.
Okay, that's kind of neat. That didn't used to work. And I haven't tried it in a long time.
It doesn't work in any other language.
Huh?
It doesn't work in any other language.
No.
No.
And I've never seen that. You took me totally by surprise.
Yeah, me too, I tried.
Yeah, that's not the way the world is supposed to work. Okay, in most languages, you would not be able to get away with that. It really did work, though, didn't it? Huh, I'll be damned. Live and learn. JavaScript is a growing thing. When it started out, it was very simplistic. And it kept growing. And, wow. I'm just really impressed. Huh. Okay, glad you brought it up.
I said it worked, so I was like, okay, something's not right yet.
Yeah, no, that I still will probably not teach that because, as he just said and I've said, it doesn't work in a load of languages. The general rule for all programming is you have to give it the entire condition. Okay, now I'm going to try one more thing, just because this is fun. Okay, so now I'm going to try putting the or in there and see if what it does when I put that in. Because it really is kind of strange that it assumed I was going to keep going with the ors. Okay, so I'm kind of curious now. If that will work. File, save, and then do a refresh. Enter your name, and enter MA. Wow. I'm learning more than you are today. Neat. Okay. That worked too. So saying capital M-A or Lord, Eric's got the same look on his face that I do. This is not supposed to be working, folks. So, that worked too.
This makes more sense.
Yes, I agree.
The commas.
I agree. But, because this at least tells you that things are still in an or relationship. So that makes a little more sense to me. But Okay. Good, good, good question. Okay, so there goes the rest of the things I was going to teach you. Okay, enter John, enter the year of birth, 2000. Enter your marital status, S. Okay. So, on this one, okay, go ahead and experiment with this and see how you can cut it down. I don't think you can on this one because there's different words. So I don't think there's any way that you can consolidate that. Okay, so what I've got here is year birth greater than 1980 and is marital status equal M? And if it is, you meet the criteria, and otherwise you don't meet it. Okay, now, this is an and. So when I'm saying this and this, okay, you put the ampersand in there. And this one you can't cut down, at least I can't think of any way you could, because it's different fields that I'm looking at. I'm looking at is your birth greater than 1980, and then I want to look at a different field for the M. Okay, so that one I've got different fields in, so I can't think of any way that you could consolidate that one. Okay? So that's how I write an and. Okay. Now, I'm going to take this one and copy and paste, and I'm going to enter something else into it too. I'm going to enter in a third code. Now notice up there at the top, I did a parse integer on that. So that means when I was taking it in, I turned it into a number. So if I was going to do a add with that, then it would have already been turned into a number. So in this case, I said, go ahead and enter the information in. And whatever you enter in, I'm going to turn into an integer number. Now what I want to do here is I want to put in another code, and I'll put in, let's see, variables numChild equals, and this time I'm just going to do prompt, and enter the number of children you have. So I'm adding something to this. So I now have three different prompts coming up. Okay, so what I want to do is look for, let's see, marital status equal to M, and either year birth, which is what I call it, yes, either year birth is greater than 1980 or whatever, or numChild is less than 5 or whatever. Okay. I want to put in that as the if statement. Okay, so this is the situation where this has to be true. This has to be true. And either of the other two. Okay, and we've looked at how to do this with using parentheses and all that kind of stuff. So I want you to try to write the if statement here for that. where it has to be Massachusetts and either of the other two. So try turning that if statement into that question that I just asked. Has to be married in either year of birth or number of child less than five. And then we will do it in class, but I want you to try it. There's not a lot of key punching going on. Okay. Remember, when one thing has to be true, it's condition A, and either condition B or condition C. So it's A or condition A, and either condition B or condition C. And don't try to make sense about why I'd want to know this. I just do.
Less than or greater than five for the children?
Less than. I said year of birth greater than 1980, right? This isn't correct, by the way, so don't bother to copy it, because it's not correct. For a variety of reasons, actually. again, that's not right. So what does it need to make this right? I've written up here, marital status equals M, and the M symbol. And then I've got your birth greater than 1980, or number child less than 5. And that's not correct. Because why? Yeah.
It's grouping the M and your birth together.
That's right. Because I don't have any parentheses, ands get resolved before ors. So it's grouping the marital status and the year of birth, and the number of child is standing alone. Okay, so that's standing alone. So how do I fix that? Yeah.
Put parentheses around year of birth at the end of number of child.
Yep. So now I'm saying, ands get resolved before ors, except when there's parentheses. And when there's parentheses, the parentheses get dealt with first. So I'm saying either one of these has to be true. And if either one of those is true, then I'm saying, okay, marital status has to be M, and either one of those has to be true. Marital status has to be M, and either one of those has to be true. Okay. Think back to the PowerPoint and think of the ones at the end of the PowerPoint where I did the exact same thing, once with the parenthesis and once without the parenthesis. Yes? Do you buy onto this, or do you have a question? Yes.
I have that same thing up there, but it's not showing up in the browser.
Okay, well, let's see if we can. I'm not having a good day, but we'll see how it goes. Okay, so file, save as A and A and B or C. Okay, so here's my browser. Open. Wait a minute, I went past it. A and B or C. So enter your name, John. Enter the year of birth. 1990. Enter the marital status M. Enter the number of children 4. And I meet the criteria. So I entered in marital status M, 1990. And 4, and it met the criteria. Now, I can't say that it will meet it for anything. Before I can say that this is truly working, I have to try every possible combination and make sure that if it's not an M, it doesn't work. And if one of those two things in parentheses isn't true, and I have to test all the possible combinations to see if it's true. Okay, but this one worked and it met the criteria. And again, this is condition A and either condition B or C. And I told you I would keep haunting you with that. And so that it's instinct. Yes?
I'm still not sure why mine's not working.
Okay, I can look at it later. Okay. But it's probably, if you've got exactly what I've got, then you probably typed something wrong somewhere along the line. I'll look at it right at the end. Okay. There's a couple more that I want to look at, while loop and do loop. Okay, so again, programming languages have to be able to support three things. They have to be able to handle sequence. They have to be able to handle decisions. And they have to be able to handle loops. Okay? And we have looked at sequence. When we were doing the calculation, we looked at sequence. We've just finished looking at decisions, and now we're going to look at loops. And basically, HTML couldn't do any of this stuff, and people started wanting more power for HTML, and so JavaScript was developed, which could be inserted in HTML to give it the power. So, if I come down here and look at the while loop. The while loop is asking a simple question. How many times should I write the line? And I'm going to say 6. And then I'm going to click OK. And it wrote the line 6 times. Okay? So, here is my loop. And remember, with a loop, you need 3 things to make the loop work. You have to set the control. You have to test the control. And you have to change the control. And I guarantee you that question will be on the final. Okay, so I've got to set the control. Now, first of all, my control is going to be count in this one, because I can look up here and see count compared to the data input. So my control is going to be count. So I am setting count equal to 1. So I'm setting it. I am testing it in the while statement, and I am changing it when I say count equals count plus 1. So I'm doing all the things that I have to do with a control. I'm setting it, I'm testing it, and I'm changing it. And I think I told you the story of when I didn't change and got a pile of papers this big from the printer with all saying exactly the same thing, because I didn't change it. And so it just kept producing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And the loop went on forever, because the loop says, loop while count is less than or equal to data input. Well, if it's less than or equal to the first time, and I don't change count, then it's going to be the same the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the hundredth and the thousandth and the whatever. So it's going to go on forever. So you have to change the control in order to eventually get out of the loop. Okay, so I'm starting out here, and I said, data input. How many times should I write the line? And data input is set up as a variable there. In this particular one, I changed the order. Usually I put all of my variables at the top. But when I'm doing a loop, somehow I feel more secure if I set it right before I go in, and then I know I did it. And so I sometimes will take that variable that I'm using for the loop, and instead of putting it at the top, I'll put it right before the loop. And that works fine. So I put in a 6 for this. And the line got written 6 times. So I said data input is a 6. The variable is starting out with count equal to 1. And then I went to the loop, and the loop said, while count is less than or equal to data input. Okay? So Is count less than or equal to data input? Yes, because I just set it to one, okay? If I had put in a zero there, what would have happened? If I put in a zero for data input, what would have happened? Ah, come on. Somebody's brave, yes.
It wouldn't have worked.
That's right. Well, it wouldn't, it's not that it wouldn't have worked as much as it would have, well, we'll do it. I'm putting in a zero, and this is the end. Okay? So what it did was it never entered the loop. So if I put in a zero here, and it asks the question, while count, which is one, is less than or equal to zero. Well, one is not less than or equal to zero, so it would not have gone in the loop. It would have just dropped out of the loop. And notice what I did when I dropped out of the loop was I wrote out document write, this is the end. Okay? So, if I entered the loop, I wrote out document write, this is number concatenated with count, concatenated with a BR. So I wrote out this is number one, then I wrote out this is number two, and then I wrote out this is number three, and so forth. So let me put the real number back in. And so if I say refresh, and I put a 5 this time, then it gives it to me 5 times. Except I already have the source open. Okay, so then it gives it to me 5 times. So, I go in, if our count is less than or equal to, count is starting out at a 1. And so I say, is 1 less than or equal to 5? Yes, it is. So I document right, this is number one, and then I add one to count. And that's the important thing. I keep adding one to count, so it changes. Notice the curly braces are controlling the code that I want to execute inside the loop. So the curly brace starts the code I want to execute, and it ends when I've completed the code that I want to execute. So I add one to count, I go back. Is 2 less than 5? Yes, it is. So I write the line, and I add one to count. I go back. Is 3 less than or equal to 5? Yes, it is. So I go in, I write out the next line, and I add to the loop. Then I go back. Is 4 less than or equal to? Yes, it is. Write out the line, add one, and I'm now up to 5. So I go back, is count less than or equal to? Yes, it is, so I write that out, and I make it 6 now. So is 6 less than or equal to 5? No. So I'm out of here, and at that point I write document write, this is the end. What would have been another way of writing that line, document write, this is the end? How else could I have written that? Ah, come on. Okay, the guy that figures out commas and pluses. How else can I write this?
I mean, you could put it as actual data input?
No, not actual data, but I have basically here a literal concatenated with a literal. So why?
Oh, right.
Usually when I've been doing it, I'm going literal, variable, or something.
Yeah.
So I can put this all in. Can't spell, but other than that. Okay, so I can put it all as one line because the BR is a literal, and the other thing is a literal, so why not put them all as one? Questions? Okay, the last one I want to look at, and we got 4 minutes, so, is the do loop. How many times should I write the line, and I'll say 5 again. Okay, now, the difference between this one and the other one is that in this one, I am checking after I do the loop. So I come in, I put in a 5, and I go down and I say, do. I don't ask a question, I just say do. So it will always do it once. And we saw on the other one, when I put in a 0, it did not do it once, it just dropped out. But this one is not checking until after I've done it. So I will always do it once. Okay, so if I go back out of here and I rerun this and I put in a 0, notice it is putting up. This is number 1, because it didn't check before it went into the loop, it just went in. And it wrote out the line, this is number, and count is 1, so it now knows count 1. It added 1 to count, and count is now a 2. Then it said, while count is less than or equal to. So it said, is count less than or equal to? 0 is not less than or equal to, I'm sorry, 1 is not less than or equal to 0. Remember, I entered a 0 here. 1 is not less than or equal to 0, so then it drops out and writes this at the end. Okay? But if I have the test before I go into the loop, I may never go into the loop. If I have the test after I've been in the loop once, then I always am going to do it once. And the difference is, did I ask the question prior to going in the loop, or do I ask the question after I've already gone into the loop once? Okay? So there may be times when a programmer wants to always do the loop once. They would code it this way. And there are other times when the programmer wants to possibly not enter the loop, and then they would code it the other way. Yeah?
We haven't dealt with any negative numbers, but could you have those?
Yes. With this one, it wouldn't get me very far. It would be like 0. But yes, mainly because I'm doing count, and count tends to be positive numbers. But yes, you could have negative numbers. What you'd usually do with negative numbers, or actually with subtracting, that's not necessarily with negative numbers, but lots of times you might start count out at 6 and then keep subtracting every time. So I wrote a line, I subtract 1, I wrote a line, how many are left? And you can keep subtracting, and then you could go into negatives too if you wanted to go down to negative 3 or something. Okay. Alrighty, I'm done. Tell me, is this making any sense whatsoever?
Yes.
Anybody else making sense, or am I one out of, are my odds 1 out of 20 here? And I didn't get anything. Ah, come on, guys. Still nothing.
I did it here.